Today we are going to talk about the Satanic Temple. Now, those who have listened to this podcast before for a while, I have really not done just a topical one like this before. But recent events going on with some things and other people and stuff have just kind of encouraged me to start addressing some things like this. You see, for some background information, I work at a particular place, and it's kind of a big facility, and there's a kind of bulletin board kind of in one of the break areas. Now, people are free to believe what they want. They are free to post things that they want in public areas. As soon as someone critiques or comments on someone else's beliefs, then you are inviting critique yourself. And what's interesting about this is I'm going to go over information on the Satanic Temple from the Satanic Temple themselves, literally the Satanic Temple's main website, their About Us page, their seven principles, and one or two things about them. And I am going to just go through these. I'm going to read their own pages, their own guidance, and things such as that on their own page, and just go through and critique these based on not even just a Christian worldview, but just straight logic and philosophical thought. Because, as you will see, the Satanic Temple tries to proclaim itself to be about reason and about not forcing your beliefs on others and common sense and scientific things, but it is full of logical contradictions, not just apparent contradiction, but actual contradiction, and fails to justify a single thing that it says. And what is strange, and you'll see this, is how much it contradicts itself. But this actually makes complete sense given the worldview. So I'm going to start by going over the About Us page. And just, I want to make sure that I'm going by their own words, their own descriptions, their own explanations, so nobody can accuse me of making something up. You can go to the actual Satanic Temple's page. They call themselves the Satanic Temple Ministry. And they are different. For some of you who want to know, they are different than the Church of Satan, which a lot of Christians are familiar with, Anton LaVey, kind of going back to Aleister Crowley. That is a different organization, and this is not theistic Satanism that actually believes in a literal personage of Satan, as you will see, but it still calls itself a religious organization. And as I go through some of this, you will see many problems, which I'm going to address, which I think I've said already. But anyways, because I am going to do this off the top of my head, the only thing that I've done is go through these pages. I've printed a lot of them off right here in my hands. And I'm going to just read through main portions of this. Some things skim over, but until we get to the seven tenets of the Satanic Temple, okay? And I'm just going to point some things out. And now, if anybody wants a more full description, explanation of how I will do this based on logic and philosophical arguments, and from my own perspective also as a Christian, but this is not primarily going to be a critique just being like, well, this is because that's contradiction to the Bible. No, because that would be way too easy. And also, those who are members of the Satanic Temple, I keep wanting to say Church of Satan, but this is a distinctly different organization, they would just dismiss that out of hand because they think, as one of their pages says, that theistic religious fairy tales, I believe they call them soothing, and things such as that are just fairy tales. But this is in complete contradiction to some of the things that they say elsewhere. So I'm going to focus on logic and philosophical argumentation. And if anybody wants a more full explanation of how I'm doing that, listen to the podcast, the episode One Good Reason to Believe, which is pretty much an at-length, drawn-out conversation about that and about logic, defining some terms, explaining some things more. Because if I try to do that again here, which I might when I need to kind of clarify and explain one or two things, because most people who are members of the Satanic Temple are not going to take the time to actually listen to the other ones, even though that is against their own tenets, which you'll see. But in order for you to say, I disagree, you must first be able to say, I understand, which is, again, one of the Satanic Temple's seven tenets, as we will go over. So without much further ado, let's go through some of the stuff about the About Us page at the Satanic Temple. If you go to the Satanic Temple's website, opens up, and there is a little paragraph that says about us, reading, the mission of the Satanic Temple is to encourage benevolence and empathy, reject tyrannical authority, advocate practical common sense, oppose injustice, and undertake noble pursuits. Now, I'll be able to go more in depth about how this is a massive contradiction to their very identity once we get into the seven tenets. But on the face of it, you have to ask, anybody who knows anything at all about logical thought, philosophical, religious, whatever, it comes down to the idea of authority. And without some objective authority to say what is right and what is wrong, something that is unchanging, that is outside of man and transcendent in that sense, above him and outside of him, you cannot make moral points. You can't. So their very purpose is self-contradictory, as you'll see. They say that they're supposed to encourage benevolence and empathy. Well, what is benevolence and empathy? It would be something that is considered good, and you don't have a concept of good unless you have objective moral authority, right? They say to reject tyrannical authority. But again, that is assuming that tyrannical authority is wrong, right? And you can't have right or wrong unless you have an objective moral authority outside of you. And the whole principle of the Satanic Temple and even the Church of Satan under Anton LaVey is that it's the glorification of self. And even on the Church of Satan, which is again a different organization than this one, is literally, it says, is self-centeredness. It is to embrace yourself as the god of your own universe. That is literally what the ideology is, which is completely contradictory to one of the seven tenets, as we'll go over. But I want to get through this because this page is just kind of information. The seven tenets give you a more full, we'll have a little bit more conversation about the what they believe and things like that, but it's contradictory. So they say to advocate for practical common sense. Again, common sense in their mind would be reason or rationality, which they kind of reference in certain places. But again, their idea of reason comes from a non-theistic worldview. The Satanic Temple is non-theistic. They do not believe in anything supernatural, as we will see. Right? So in essence, it's atheism, right? So in atheism, you have to hold to either a materialistic worldview that there is matter and that is all that there is, which means anything that is immaterial or not made of material or matter doesn't exist in that worldview. Or you have to hold to some form of empiricism that all knowledge is gained by observation. And that's generally more towards somebody who considers himself to be more scientific-minded. They want empirical evidence, empirical data, and things such as that to say what is true and what is not true. Again, I'll go into that a little bit further later if it comes up. Or naturalism. Naturalism being that all things are explained by natural processes. If you are atheistic in your worldview, especially if you do not believe in the supernatural, you fall under naturalism or empiricism or a mixture of the two, as there's a lot of overlap between them, obviously. Now, why does that matter when we talk about practical common sense? Because if you say common sense and you mean in a sense of reason and rational thought, but you do not believe in the immaterial, and you believe in a chaos universe that time plus chance plus matter equals all things now, right? You believe life comes from non-life, consciousness and sentience comes from unconsciousness and non-sentience, that order comes from chaos, that there is no uncaused first cause in the universe, really. There is no non-moved first mover, which is logically necessary, because the universe cannot give birth to itself, right? And I'm going to bring this back around to why this has to do with common sense, but atheists and agnostics, especially both of them, do not understand this principle that if you believe in a chaos universe, that all things come from unguided processes, naturalistic processes, you have absolutely no reason to trust in your ability to reason. Say, well, why can you say that? Because your brain then is the result of chaos. It is not the result of anything intelligent. It's literally an accident. And you have no justifiable, especially you have no scientific reason to believe that your brain can reason, right? And the only way that you can justify that is pretty much the idea of information theory. Information theory states that information only comes from a mind, right? If you are walking through a garden and you look around and you see everything in rows, pretty, well-tended, nice, neat, manicured grass and flowers and everything like that, you think order. Someone has ordered these things. If you're walking through the middle of the Sahara Desert or the jungle, you think this is a very wild atmosphere. There is no person has organized these things. Now, ironically, if you were to look under a microscope at all the things around you, you would see order in every single cell and particle. But you get the principle. When you encounter order, information, data, anything in order of any kind, you automatically assume a mind has done this, right? But to be an atheist or an agnostic, you have to believe that your mind came from chaos and an accident, right? So you can't believe in common sense. You can't believe in logic, especially because logic is an immaterial concept. You can't believe in physics, because physics is an immaterial concept. It's just a description of how the universe operates, right? And that's what we observe. And you also have no guarantee that the physics of tomorrow will operate as today, because you can't believe in the uniformity of nature, because chaos universe, right? You can't believe in any of that if you believe that your brain is the result of an accident or a chaos universe. Again, if you want a more full, drawn-out description and explanation of why that is, listen to the other episode called One Good Reason to Believe. So going on, the About Us page of the Satanic Temple says, oppose injustice. Well, justice or injustice is a moral concept. You have no right to oppose it unless you are asserting that there is a moral absolute binding upon all mankind. You can't even call anything injustice unless you yourself have a concept of justice that is binding upon other people, right? So this is inherently self-contradictory. And also it says, and undertake noble pursuits. Now, depending on how somebody would define the term noble, you could mean it to be something that is good, ideally, right? If you think of the word noble, you're thinking of something good, something praiseworthy, or good for others, or good for society or something, right? Well, you can't have a concept of good unless you have a concept of bad, right? And if the whole principle is to do your own will, well, who are you to say something is noble or not noble? The most you can say is that it is noble for you, but that's meaningless in a conversation with others, right? Okay, goes down and says, Satanic Temple, we have publicly confronted hate groups. Now, I want you to listen to this and understand this paragraph especially. The Satanic Temple, and even the Church of Satan, the Levian Satanism, they fight for their own values on a legal level, right? And in a sense, they're meaning to protect their own individual right to exercise their will about their lives, right? Nothing necessarily wrong with that. But I want you to listen to the language, especially whenever you hear the seven tenets in a little bit, right? And they say here on the opening page, we have publicly confronted hate groups. Well, how can you believe in a hate group unless you believe that there is a moral absolute? They don't believe in moral absolutes binding upon all men, so then they cannot define something as a hate group. This says that they fought for the abolition of corporal punishment in public schools. Again, that is a moral issue. You cannot fight against something unless you are saying it is objectively wrong, or at least wrong to you. And if it's wrong to you, then what does it matter to you what other people do if they disagree? It says applied for equal representation when religious installations, I think they mean institutions, are placed. Oh, okay. Institutions, I think is what they mean, are placed on public property. Okay, they claim themselves to be religious and this and that, but then they say that they do not believe in any supernatural this or that. They don't believe that they have any commandments, anything that is binding upon the people who belong to them, right? But, I mean, there's so many contradictions once we get into the seven tenets, okay? But this is inherently contradictory, to call themselves religious and to say that they do not actually have commandments, they don't have any guiding authority, they say, while at the same time giving authoritative statements about what you should or should not do. Inherently contradictory. Provided religious exemption and legal protection against laws that unscientifically restrict people's reproductive autonomy. That means they want to be able to kill children in the womb as much as they want to. Why? Because it's their body. This is in essence just leftist liberal ideology just put in a veil of religious sphere, a concept, a context that makes it seem like it's a religious issue again, right? Which is, again, it's not scientific. It is a child in the womb. And the people say, well, I have a right to my own body. Yes, you do. But what about the body of the child? Are you giving them consent? Because then you're asserting your will over the body of that individual who is growing in your womb. You are, in essence, violating your own tenet, right? Okay. Anyways, say that they have exposed harmful pseudoscientific practitioners in mental health care. That would take a deep dive right there, depending on how they mean the terms, right? Says they've organized clubs alongside other religious after-school clubs and schools besieged by proselytizing organizations, right? Well, if they have clubs in these places also, then that is a form of proselytizing, so then they are proselytizing, which is, again, against one of their tenets, right? To not force your beliefs on other people, right? And it says, and engaged in other advocacy in accordance with our tenets. Again, we're going to go over the seven tenets. And so they have them listed on this opening page. I will wait to go through them until we're going to go through them in depth. They say the Satanic Temple versus the Church of Satan. They say the Satanic Temple has become the primary religious satanic organization in the world with congregations internationally and a number of high-profile public campaigns designed to preserve and advance secularism and individual liberties. Well, if you are a religious organization, then you cannot by definition call yourself a secular organization. To be secular is to be non-religious, so that's an inherent contradiction. Unless they're going to embrace the contradiction, which some people do. But then if you're going to embrace contradiction, you can't say that you are somebody who is rational or appealing to reason. The rise of the Satanic Temple has been met with an increase in commentary regarding what Satanism is as media outlets struggle to grasp how this upstart religion, it's not a new religion, it's been around since the beginning, has begun to shift religious liberty debates. Again, they're referring to themselves as partaking in religious liberty debates and also seeking to advance secularism. Again, that's a contradiction. You either are religious or you are secular. There is no middle ground with claims of equal access. So they go on and says, with unfortunate regularity and much to our chagrin, the Satanic Temple was confused with an earlier organization, the Church of Satan, founded by Anton Zander LaVey in the 1960s. The Church of Satan expresses vehement opposition to and campaigns and activities of the Satanic Temple, asserting themselves as the only true arbiters of Satanism, while the Satanic Temple dismisses the Church of Satan as irrelevant and inactive. So in essence, they're like, hey, they're just the older guys that are irrelevant because they don't do anything, and we're going to pretty much, you know, we're the main guys now, right? And then they have a list of the seventh tenet. Seven fundamental tenets of the Satanic Temple, while inspired by 18th century Enlightenment values, were designed for current times to assist the modern Satanist in noble undertakings. Knowledge is a cornerstone of our satanic philosophy, and it is incumbent on members to expand their horizons. One can find a suggested list of reading materials related to the TST, the Satanic Temple philosophy, here. And then there's a website to their kind of recommended reading, which is just a long list of books about Satanism, obviously. Ironically, I did not see Anton LaVey's book on the Satanic Bible, or I didn't recognize immediately anything by Aleister Crowley, which is interesting to me. So I wonder if somebody was to do a deep dive, as I'm sure somewhere on the internet there has been, what inherently is the difference between the two? But we're focusing on the Satanic Temple. And so they pretty much, that's most of what's on their main page, and then there's some other stuff down the list. Nothing really too interesting. Encouraging, hey, find a congregation near you. Consider supporting TST financially. You know, pretty much like any other organization. You know, you can buy mugs with their logos on it. Also, you can buy t-shirts and all sorts of stuff. You can volunteer, probably, and other things like that. So we're going to start going through the seven tenets of the Satanic Temple. Okay, I'm going to read them. I'm going to read all of them first, and then I will go through one at a time, okay? So if you go to the Frequently Asked Questions and Help Center tab under the Satanic Temple's main website, it comes up and it says, what are the seven tenets? The seven tenets of the Satanic Temple are fundamental ethical principles that guide our religious philosophy. They are not commandments from any natural or supernatural authority, nor are they laws that Satanists seek to impose on others. They are core beliefs that provide us with guidance and inspiration. These are the seven fundamental tenets of our religion. See, again, they refer to themselves as a religion. But we'll go over, I'm trying not to comment too much reading through this first time, okay? So one, the first tenet. One should strive to act with compassion and empathy toward all creatures in accordance with reason. Two, the struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions. Three, one's body is inviolable, subject to one's will alone. 4. The freedoms of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend. To willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego one's own. That is, your own liberty or freedom. 5. Beliefs should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. One should take care never to distort scientific facts to fit one's beliefs. 6. People are fallible. If one makes a mistake, one should do one's best to rectify it and resolve any harm that might have been caused. 7. Every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word. Okay, those are the seven tenets. And then they have a couple of three small paragraphs real quick. It says, the seven tenets should inspire introspection and self-examination. They are deliberately ambiguous, inviting members to explore the complex and varied ways that each tenet can manifest in their lives. Their meaning and implications will evolve as our community evolves and as our culture evolves. The seven tenets are not a list of beliefs. They are a system of thought. Every tenet interacts with every other tenet. Sometimes they come together to resonate in profound ways. Other times they create tension or even apparent contradiction. The self-discovery that comes from thinking deeply about how to apply the seven tenets to real-world situations is part of the journey through which members of the Satanic Temple discover and create their own personal Satanism. Co-founder of the Satanic Temple, Malcolm Jerry, discusses how the seven tenets arose and the philosophy behind them, and then it gives a couple videos and things that you can look at if you're a member and things such as that. So on the face of it, somebody who has a degree of common sense, ironically, since they say they want common sense, finds a number of contradictions just in a cursory glance going through these. Now, I'm going to go over some of this, and then I'm going to go over a couple of the tenets individually in depth, because some of these have other pages saying, like, what does the first tenet mean? And then there's another page describing a little bit more, not a lot, about each of these tenets, with the exception of the second one. The second one does not have its own page that I saw. So, and try to understand that the Satanic Temple and Satanism in general, outside of maybe theistic Satanism, the one that actually believes in the literal personages of Satan and the devil and that, right? The Satanic Temple does not believe that. But this is inherently just the glorification of self, and they would admit that. It is to say that you are your own God, not literally a supernatural being, but that you are the master of your own domain and everything like that. Only you should determine what is your life and all these sorts of things, right? And I'm really struggling to just limit myself to not just start ranting about the many ways that this is irrational. But let's just start going back through this again, and I'll comment on some things, and then we'll go into them one by one. So when it said the seven tenets of the Satanic Temple are fundamental ethical principles. Well, when you say ethical, you're talking about ethics, like how what is right and what is wrong. Well, that's moral, right? Well, you can't have morality in any meaningful way and interact with others unless you believe there is objective morality, that there is morality, that there is objective good and bad, right and wrong, right? And they say that these are ethical, which is moral, principles that guide our religious philosophy. Again, it's non-theistic, and they say that they are religious. Now, somebody might make the mistake of saying, well, if it's a religion, then it must believe in a theistic idea. Well, no, not necessarily, which is probably why they added the word philosophy. Because while it's true that generally religion implies a belief in some kind of supernatural ideology, there are some systems, which is maybe why they refer to themselves as a system of thought, that are not necessarily theistic or supernatural. There are forms of Buddhism, Taoism, Confucianism, and things such as that. It really just depends on how you define the word religion. And so this is, at the very least, it is a philosophy, right? But then they say they are not commandments from any natural or supernatural authority. And so they're not commandments. Now, you could say supernatural authority, they don't have really any authority. And that's the question that you should constantly be asking, is the why. Well, why? Why should you do anything like this? And there is no justification given. And in this worldview, which is inherently atheistic or agnostic, and an agnostic is an atheist who doesn't want to have to defend atheism, really, or somebody who doesn't care enough to actually defend anything that they say, right? Just attack everybody else's beliefs and just go hide in your little hole of, I don't know. And if I sound mean, please understand I'm not trying to be mean, but deeply irrational things frustrate me. They really do. Because the only reason to believe something is because you believe it to be objectively true. And in the postmodern, post-Christian kind of society that we have today, especially here in the Western world, and I live in the United States of America, there are many people who think that it is somehow okay to say, well, this is what I believe because I want to believe it. And that is the height of irrationality. If you do not have a good reason to believe something, that it is true, that it is in some way binding or incumbent upon you from outside of yourself, like objectively true, then you are confessing that it is inherently false. Because if it is just up to you to decide what is or what is not true, right? Then you're just making it up, which is arbitrariness. And if something's arbitrary, you literally have no reason to believe it. But people have so kind of just raised up this notion that just believing it is enough. No. And I know I can hear some secularists say, well, you know, Christianity is based on faith, right? And that means no evidence. No, that is not what faith means. That's an arbitrary limiting of the semantic range of the word. The word faith just means trust. And the Bible nowhere says that we believe in things without evidence. And now it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which is a book in the Bible, says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? But that's not what that passage is talking about. That's not. That's in the context of a book that talks, that is contrasting and explaining how Christ fulfilled many of the things of the Old Testament describes and pictures and analogies. It's not saying that faith means you don't have evidence. That's not the point even of that passage. The word faith means trust. And the Bible says that when somebody is saved by grace, that is by God doing something on our behalf that we could not do ourselves, through faith, that is by our trust in Him, right? And so while in Christianity, salvation is applied to a person by their faith, that is the sole condition of salvation, right? That in no way means anywhere in the Bible that there is no evidence. In fact, to say that there is no evidence for Christianity is such an admission of palpable ignorance. And I don't know how else to put it. It means that you have not spent a solid 20 minutes researching or even Googling the idea of evidence for Christianity, because you certainly haven't read any books on apologetics for Christianity. And you certainly haven't done any research into the resurrection of Christ, at least in any sources from scholars who were actually experts in their field, right? And so I'm almost tempted to say, like Anthony Flew, leading atheistic philosopher of the latter part of the 20th century, said about Richard Dawkins, atheist now, and that you just didn't do your homework, right? And so anytime you are just saying, well, we believe these things because we believe these things, and then you go on to say, now, I'm not trying to force them on anybody. You don't have to believe them. But these things are things that we believe, right? Now, they're not authoritative, but I think that then you're going to act like they're authoritative. You're just walking in the midst of a massive contradiction, or logically or philosophically speaking, dialectical tension, which is probably why they say that, and they acknowledge that it is inherently self-contradictory, or seems to be apparent self-contradiction is what they said. Because I know somebody had to point it out to them. But again, you are dealing with irrationality. This is not reason. This is not truth. This is not philosophical thought that has been thought out. This is, we want to do what we want to do, and we don't want anybody to be able to tell us that it's wrong. Which, okay, if you want to choose that, that's your choice to make. Right? But don't act like it's logical. Don't act like it's rational, because it's not. Now, because I'm running a little long on this, I can just rant about this forever. I'm going to go through and some more about this. Let's go through each one at a time, okay? So we have the first tenet, which says, tenet one, one should strive to act with compassion and empathy toward all creatures in accordance with reason. Okay, it says one should. Should is implying a moral imperative, right? But it, one of the points that they said is these are not laws to impose on anybody. They're not authoritative, right? It didn't come from any natural or supernatural authority, which means they're saying these are not authoritative. But you should do this. Well, that's implying authority. Should implies a moral objective, an objectively true binding moral concept, idea, or something, right? And I know they say that these are just guidance and principles, but no, you cannot act like they are a should or an ought. That implies authority. That implies it should be this way, so it is not this way, but you need to make it this way. Which is what? The concept of moral authority, moral objectivity. So it says one should strive to act with compassion and empathy. I would like them to define compassion and empathy in any meaningful, objective way. Because if it's just, well, I think that this is that, well, then with, if you're going to try to embrace this contradiction, you can have two Satanists that define those things completely differently and contradict each other. And this organization is then going to embrace that, right? So let's say you had Adolf Hitler's philosophy. Well, I think it is compassionate to end the lives of the Jews because they're just beasts and they're just, you know, they're less than us and we should just put them out of their misery. You know, survival of the fittest. If you're not the fittest, you don't survive, right? Atheism, if it's taken to its logical extension, right? Okay, and then you're going to have this other person over here who believes that reason or naturalism pushes man to evolve and push himself to better himself, right? Well, these are completely contradictory, and the one's going to try to murder the other one. But this is something that, according to them, they would have to embrace. So how is this in any way bettering anything? Because a lot of these organizations want to critique Christianity, you know, the fascism of Christianity pushing itself on other people. Well, within your system, you can't even say that eating people is wrong. Really, you can pretend like one of your tenets says do not violate the things of other people, but then you're saying it's not authoritative, right? You're saying it's not coming from any natural or supernatural authority, right? They're not laws, right, to impose on others. They're core beliefs that provide with guidance and inspiration, but then you're providing no moral grounds, no authoritative moral grounds to say anything is wrong, but then acting like other things are wrong. This is just trying to have your cake and eat it too. Trying to act like you have some sort of moral high ground over soothing fairy tales and delusions, like they say on one page, right, of theistic religions, as though they're all the same, which is massively ignorant to say, right? And to pretend like they don't have evidence, which is massively ignorant to say, right? So you're going to pretend like you have moral high ground, but you don't. You don't have any high ground. You don't have any ground. And so whenever they use moral language, compassion, empathy, it's implying that there is right and wrong, objective right and wrong, which they can't have in their system. And it says in accordance with reason. Well, what reason? According to your mind, which is the result, according to you, of accident, chaos? Why can you have any confidence that your mind actually is reasonable? Now, in their explanation of their first tenets is, as with all of the tenets, and this is a paragraph that's repeated for each tenet if you go to the individual pages, right? It says, as with all of the tenets, the first tenet is not a commandment, right? So it's not, they're not telling you, you have to live this way. It says, nor is it rule to be forced on other people, right? So you can't act like this is authoritative for others. So they're denying objective morality. The tenets are found fundamental ethical principles that we strive to embody in our own thoughts and actions, right? Satanists interpret and apply the tenets differently. Well, then what's the point of the tenet? Really? If you're saying we should do this thing, but then acknowledging this means different things to different people, then what's the point of the tenet? There is none. You might as well not have said it. It says, it is fundamentally unsatanic to use any tenet either to rationalize a decision or to try to coerce or manipulate the behaviors of others. Then what's the point of it? Why would you join? What are they going to help you do? Right? If there's no objective morality, no system, really a system of thought, because you're just saying people can interpret it differently, which means it's not a system of thought that's coherent. It's inherently contradictory. It's inherently trying to nail Jell-O to a wall, where you're saying that people can interpret and apply the tenets differently, and that it's not a commandment, nor is it a rule to be forced on other people. You are not doing anything then. You're saying, well, it should be this way, but I'm not telling you to be that way, nor am I telling it to you if you interpret it the way that I mean it. Your existence is nullified then. Why should anybody join you? And then they go on. Now, that is something that is said in every single tenet page. And I think the wording is slightly different depending on the page, but that kind of idea, right? It's like, hey, we're not saying this is binding, but I'm saying it should be this way, but it shouldn't be this way because you can interpret it any way you want to make it say that you should be this or not or should not be that. So it says the application of Tenet 1 to real-world situations can be incredibly complex and very personal. Why? Because it's not actually saying anything, right? They're saying something, denying it, and making it meaningless. So of course it's incredibly complex about trying to apply it. It says applying the first tenet almost always requires looking at it in relation to other tenets, which again, each one of them says is not a commandment. It's not to be forced on other people. You can interpret it differently. Right? And what's interesting is that whenever they say it is fundamentally unsatanic to use any tenet either to rationalize a decision or to try to coerce or manipulate the behaviors of others, well, then why are you getting involved in law? Why are you trying to pass laws that you say protect you, but making it unlawful for other people? Because they can say, oh, no, it's about defending our own individual autonomy. Well, no, because whenever you make it legal for people to, let's say, they want to say reproductive rights, I say kill children for your own convenience. And they want it to be always, always legal for you to kill children within the womb without any reason or rhyme if you just want to, right? Well, then you are making it unlawful for other people to stop that based upon their own views. Like, as a Christian, I believe it is murder. There's no way around it. It is a human life. If you leave it alone, it becomes a fully formed human life. People say, well, no, that's not scientific. No, even the actual woman who was at the heart of the Roe v. Wade court, trial, case, whatever you want to call it, even she is now against abortion because modern scientific thought, medical knowledge, and biological knowledge says it's a human. So you're the one who's on the unscientific side of it. You're the one trying to block other people from living according to their beliefs. Again, an inherent contradiction. They want to have their cake and eat it too. In essence, all the Satanic Temple is trying to say, we want to live our own lives our own way, and we want you to not ever be able to tell us we're wrong. Anyways, it says some examples of the questions you may need to confront when figuring out how to live your life in accordance with the first tenet, which is, again, then what's the point of it if it's not actually giving you the guidance and inspiration that you say it's supposed to give you? What's the point of it? And then they have these questions like, what do you do when an act of compassion toward one person or group could cause harm to others? Well, if they're defining it, then what's the point of the Satanic Temple? They don't need to join you. They can do that for free elsewhere, right? And so you get to define everything, right? I mean, it's ridiculous. There's nothing here. And so they pretty much, it's about the glorification of self. You get to decide for yourself how you want to do it. And you can be with another group of people who get to decide for themselves and define everything for themselves. And we're going to completely contradict each other usually, sometimes. And we don't know anything, but we do know we hate those Christians over there. And we're going to call it a religious organization that's secular, right? We're going to say we're reasonable and rational, but we can't actually defend that because we believe we're the process of accident and chaos, right? Last part of this page under the first tenet says, the fact that Tenet 1 can be interpreted and applied in so many different ways illustrates an important principle of the seven tenets, right? So listen to this. They say this is an important principle of the seven tenets, which means the Satanic Temple. You use them to inspire and guide yourself. You do not impose them on others. Now, I would love to have a conversation with somebody who is a part of this and ask, why, okay, according to this principle, one should strive to act with compassion and empathy toward all creatures in accordance with reason. If, by the way, you decided to define these things, you pretty much lined yourself up with Christianity, would they have a problem with it? I mean, really? Right? Now, here's the thing. They probably would not. You say, why? Because you're not acknowledging God. As long as you say it, that's probably acceptable to them. But as soon as God says it, somebody who is above them, then that's a problem, which is the inherent idea to deny the authority over them. They don't care what you do as long as you don't act like you have any sort of right to say that anybody has authority over them, which they do comment on in another tenet. Now, the second tenet that they say is the struggle for justice is an ongoing necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions. Okay, let's think about this for a second. This one does not have its own page that I saw. If there is, I didn't see it. But I want you to think about this. What is justice? Well, justice is a moral concept. And it's not even something that can be called opinion, because justice, by definition, has the concept of you interacting with others. Something has been done against you, or you have done something against someone else, and there is justice is needed to bring things back to a level footing, that there has no wrong has been committed, right? Well, how can you say that? What's justice unless you actually believe in an objective moral principle that is binding upon all humanity, right? And if you can say, well, it's majority vote, if we all agree that this and that, well, what if in a generation or in a week I convince that 51% to completely contradict that? Well, the next week, justice has a completely different concept, which means this is meaningless. Because if we were to even go by that logic, and the majority of people said that abortion is wrong, the Satanic Temple would still go against them. Right? Because they have concepts that they say are right, their own bodies and this and that. Well, according to somebody who disagrees with you, right, and you're supposed to not encroach upon the freedoms of another, right, they're saying that this is wrong, this is murder, right? And then your concept of justice is now against their concept of justice, who's right? Because you say that there's no natural or supernatural authority behind any of these things, right? So you see, this entire system is not even a house of cards. It's a pile of cards that was thrown against the wall. But it says that it's an ongoing and necessary, necessary implies that it's a moral imperative to do it, right? But there's apparently no moral imperative to do it. It's not a commandment, right? It's not seeking to impose on others, but you're saying that this is a pursuit. A justice is a pursuit. And then it says it should prevail over laws and institutions. Well, then now you're starting to force this ideology over others, like others who have put those laws into place and institutions that have put those laws into place. It's inherently contradictory. Now, tenet number three, one's body is inviolable, subject to one's will alone. Now, the immediate question is, why? Why is your body inviolable? Because it's your, well, did you give it to yourself? Did you create yourself? No, somebody else created you, right? Whether, no matter what you believe, somebody else created you. If you believe in natural atheistic philosophy, then your mother created you and your father created you, right? You were pro-created in the womb, right? So you didn't make yourself, right? And if it, I mean, it's just, there's no logical way to defend this. It belongs to somebody. You can say, well, because I exist, I'm my own. You don't even have any power over your own heartbeat. You don't have any power over your own brain waves. You have no power to make yourself taller, shorter, or anything. You have no power over anything except to just disagree with others, right? This is ridiculously self-centered, which again, they glorify, right? It's pretty much saying, it's mine, I want it. This is a five-year-old mentality, right? And it says subject to one's will alone. Again, my question is, why? Why is it subject to your will alone? What is the objective authority by which you can say that it is yours alone? Now, am I arguing that I want the government or some religious institution to have right over your body? No, I don't. I don't want them to have that because as a Christian, I can say that. I believe in there is a moral, objective morality outside of and above me that says most of the time, somebody outside of me has no right to my body. Now, if I'm a criminal, the government has inherent right to punish me, right? If I take the life of someone else, I believe that in capital punishment. If you take the life of someone, the government has the imperative from God to say your life can be taken in place for that person's life. That's the concept of justice. I can actually defend that within my worldview, right? But you have no way of defending this. Why should your body be inviolable? Because ultimately, they don't want anybody to tell them what to do with their womb. And that's really what the article even goes in to say. It says, the Religious Reproductive Rights Campaign frequently draws on Tenet 3 when advocating for the rights of our members to have full autonomy and control over their reproductive health decisions. And even it acknowledges that there is some concern between this one and the other tenets, right? Because then the issue of COVID-19 vaccines and things such as that, right? Well, then you're supposed to care about, why are you supposed to care about other people if you don't believe in any objective morality? Again, it goes back to that. But again, they want to have their cake and eat it too. Say, my body is my own, but then try to say, your body's not your own if your body starts to affect other people, right? It's an inherent contradiction. Now, in my worldview as a Christian, that's not a contradiction because I have moral absolutes outside of and above myself that I consider to be authoritative, binding on me and others. Another person is made in the image of God, and therefore they have God as an authority over them, and I have certain things that I have been commanded by God as an authority over me to not do to that other person. I can defend that concept. But if you were just a random product of chaos, random chemicals being struck by lightning in a pool of sludge, however many billions of years ago it's now being called, right? If you, that's all that you believe, you have no way to defend this ideology, right? And again, they still say in this page that you should never use this, and fundamentally unsatanic to use any tenet either to rationalize a decision or to try to coerce or manipulate the behavior of others. Again, then why is the article there? Tenet number four. The freedom of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend, to willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego one's own. Well, that's an absolute. You're trying to say that that's an absolute. But you can't defend the idea of an absolute objective morality. You can't. But you still act like there's absolutes. You're contradicting yourself. You can't have it both ways, right? Individual pages says, what does the fourth tenet mean? It specifically says, as with all the tenets, the fourth tenet is not a commandment, nor is it a rule to be forced on other people, right? And then it goes on, so it gives the same spiel, right? It's unsatanic to use any tenet either to rationalize a decision or to try to coerce or manipulate the behaviors of others. And then it says that same thing. It says, one of the most common misunderstandings of tenet number four is the belief that it grants Satanists moral permission to say and do offensive things. We sometimes see people lash out, saying something deliberately to upset and offend others. Like, I don't know, walking up to Christians and yelling, Hail Satan. Okay. Well, apparently, you are then actually violating the fourth tenet, right? You're going out of your way to offend other people, right? Now, they say the subject of the first sentence of this tenet is not your freedom. It is the freedom of others. This tenet is not giving you permission to offend others, like putting up a flyer about the seven principles of the Satanic Temple next to a flyer talking about this podcast. It's the freedom of others. It's not giving you permission to offend others. This tenet is reminding you that they have permission to offend you. Oh, isn't that interesting? Like Christians, they have permission by the Satanic Temple to offend people who are ministers of the Satanic Temple. The second sentence goes on to remind you that it is unethical, again, which is a moral concept, to willfully and unjustly limit their behavior simply because you do not want to feel offended. So, for a completely imaginary, arbitrary example, if you are in a work environment, you get offended by flyers talking about Christ, inviting people to certain church events, or programs that talk about spiritual things from a Christian perspective, and it is not being forced on you at all, and you start tearing them down and start putting up flyers that advocate for some other worldview that is offensive to the others, then you violated tenet number four. So just in case that ever happens, you know, you just violated your own tenets. Tenet number five. You can see a common thread throughout all these. They're arbitrary. They have no basis to actually assert anything while claiming and acting as though they have a moral basis to assert them while at the same time denying them. And if that makes you kind of confused as to why they even went to the trouble of saying them in the first place, then you probably have some common sense. Tenet number five. Beliefs should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. One should take care never to distort scientific facts to fit one's beliefs. So again, it says your beliefs should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. Is there some sort of implied dichotomy or contrast between your beliefs and scientific understanding of the world? There shouldn't be, because I agree as a Christian that your beliefs should conform to the best scientific understanding of the world. The difference is Darwinian evolution has no scientific basis. Particles to people evolution does not happen. It does not happen. It has never once happened, and it never will happen. It's logically impossible. It's biologically impossible. It is rationally impossible. But I'll go on to this again, because they're going to talk about this in the article specifically in just a second. But it says, one should take care to never distort scientific facts to fit one's belief. Well, that's a moral idea. That's saying you should be honest with your scientific findings, right? Well, why? If it benefits you to lie about scientific facts, like, I don't know, denying that a child in the womb is actually a child in the womb and it is actually a human, just to defend your arbitrary belief that you should be able to kill children at your own will. If it benefits you to lie about whether or not that child in the womb is in fact a child so that you can preserve your complete arbitrary claim of autonomy over your own body, why would you not do it? Because you've said that there's no supernatural authority or natural authority behind anything, any one of these tenets. There's no authority. Therefore, it's not objective truth. Therefore, you don't have to not do or do anything. And you cannot defend this. You cannot say that there is some sort of moral imperative to not distort scientific facts to fit one's own beliefs, which many atheists and agnostics actually do. And not just them, because it's human nature. Okay, now let me step back from that one, okay? It says that these are religious beliefs of the Satanic Temple, right? And it says, at the core of tenet number 5 are the phrases scientific understanding and scientific facts. Notice that the word science as a noun does not appear. It's a distinction without a difference. The fifth tenet is not a call to put science, the institution, it's not an institution, good night, on a pedestal, nor does it invite people to blindly trust scientists, the people, or the sciences, fields of study. This tenet invites you to think of science as a process, a way of gaining knowledge about the world. Okay, now let's talk about empiricism, right? Because remember, empiricism is the belief that knowledge is gained by observation. And generally, if somebody considers themselves to be more scientifically minded, they're going to be empiricist in some way, shape, or form. Now, that much knowledge is gained by observation and the scientific method, because I can defend that as a Christian and my worldview, right? I can justify the belief that good knowledge, much good knowledge, comes from observation and the scientific method, right? I cannot justify that all knowledge comes from observation or the scientific method. And really, and again, go back to listen to the episode One Good Reason to Believe for a lengthy breakdown of this statement, okay? Because it's not going to make sense unless you have context of the actual reasons behind it. And this is not a new concept. The inductive principle is something that has been thought of by philosophers and scientists back to the days of Aristotle, okay? It's not just me, okay? But because you cannot justify the inductive principle, the belief that as things are today, they will be tomorrow, which is necessary for the scientific method and really gaining knowledge by observation to have any basis in rational thought. If you are an atheist and you believe in naturalism or empiricism, in anything other than special creation by a deity outside of humanity, outside of the universe and separate from it, then you can't justify it. You can't, because you live in a chaos world. There is no justifiable reason in an atheistic universe or an agnostic universe that is just atheism with not wanting to defend itself. If you believe in Darwinian evolution, deep time, and all these kinds of things, and all there is natural processes or materialism, you cannot justify the scientific method to be reliable. You can't, because you believe in a chaos universe. You have no reason to believe tomorrow will be yesterday. And people say, well, because it's usually been this way. Well, that's begging the question. You're assuming the conclusion in your argument. You're saying, because things operate this way, they will operate this way. I'm sorry, that's illogical, that's irrational, and that's not reasonable, since you think that you're appealing to reason in your tenets here. Okay? Now, so they say this because they've gone out of their way to specify they're not putting science or scientists on a pedestal, because people have probably rightly critiqued much atheists and agnostics and evolutionists that you're deifying science. And science is good if it's done rationally and logically consistently. But the worldview is the thing that matters, because people interpret evidence in light of their presuppositions. That's the nature of evidence. Scientific proof or facts do not actually prove anything. They don't. Because somebody can always appeal to the unknown. Well, it could be this, right? Whenever there's apparent contradiction within a worldview, whether naturalism, empiricism, anything like that, even Christianity, any kind of worldview, when there is apparent contradiction, you will create a rescuing device saying that, well, it could be this, to explain away any apparent contradiction within it. And that's not always wrong, but it is wrong when it's arbitrary, right? If you do not have a rational reason to do that based upon your worldview, then it's completely illogical. It's irrational. You have no reason to believe that. And you're hurting yourself really in the long run. And people say then how do you weigh the worldviews? Because it's just people have wrongly assumed that you have these ivory towers and just people yelling at each other, your ivory tower is wrong. No, your ivory tower is wrong. Well, then on what basis do you weigh these things? Again, you have to go back and listen to the other episode, One Good Reason to Believe, where I break this down in depth, right? But there's a couple of reasons and ways to critique worldviews. One glaring reason that should be self-explanatory is a worldview should explain the universe as it is. Because if it's true, it would have to be, right? You don't have to believe in Christianity for Christianity's worldview to explain why you are the way that you are. You don't. Christianity would just have to be true to be able to explain why you are the way that you are. If Darwinian evolution, naturalism, empiricism, whichever way you want to fall on that, is true, then it would be able to explain the universe as it is, not as we want it to be, right? So materialism, which says there is nothing in the universe outside of matter, it cannot be true because we have non-material things, immaterial things, such as logic, philosophy, logic, and physics, and mathematics, things that are immaterial that are binding in the universe. Now, physics, depending on how you define that, but logic and mathematics, things such as that, that are true, they're objectively true, and they are binding in the universe across all particles in the universe that we are aware of, because they are a reflection of the mind of God, right? I could go off on that all day long. Again, if you want just a lengthy breakdown of that, logically, scientifically, philosophically, listen to the other episode. But this is completely ridiculous, this fifth tenet. It says belief should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. Why? Why should they do that? That's a moral word. You're implying that there is a moral, an objective morality that says you should do that, right? He says one should take care to never distort scientific facts to fit one's own belief. Again, why? Again, though, the thing is not scientific facts. The thing is the worldview behind the facts that causes people to interpret them in alignment with their already preconceived notions. Whose worldview, then, is the correct one? That is the question, not scientific facts. People are not just sifting through items being like, well, this one supports creation, this one supports Buddhism, this one supports, you know, Darwinism, this one supports atheism. That's not how it works. Everybody is interpreting the exact same data in light of their own presuppositions and worldview. The real question is whose presuppositions and worldview are objectively correct. Okay, this they go on to say, this tenet is also a caution against wishful thinking. This tenet is a call to ground your beliefs in concrete evidence. Again, who's going to say what concrete evidence supports what? It's going to come down to weighing your worldview. Now listen to this. Once you have formed an opinion, look for evidence that will change your mind. Look for alternative explanations that might cast doubt upon your original assumptions and provide an alternative theory of the facts. Spend some time imagining yourself in the mind of a person who disagrees with you and understand things from their point of view. These are the basics of taking an evidence-based approach to the world. This is the principle at the core of Tenet 5. So they're saying empiricism, right? But again, that was not a bad thing. I agree with that. You should do that. I've never met a Satanist or an atheist who's done that, though. I've never met one who has taken the time to actually go out of their way to say, hey, I don't believe in Christianity. Let me go look up some scholars about, hey, you Christian over there, tell me, what are some good scholars? Some of those guys who defend Christianity, what are they called? Oh, apologists? Let me go look up some of their books, and you tell me what are the best books defending Christianity from an academic perspective. Tell me, I'm going to do my due diligence and examine these things. I have never met one. In fact, many of them get angry. Like with one of the things that provoked me with this to do this episode was because kind of getting into it with some things at work, not hostile, I'm having too much fun with it, where I put up somebody at work, not even me, had put up one or two things about Christian, some creation science ministries, not creation science in the sense of Christian science, but creation ministries that defend the scientific explanations that actually do support the Bible, right? You know, reality. And somebody was taking them down, taking them on work time, printing over them very, very bad arguments that were terrible, and was putting them back up. And so I kind of started to get irritated with this. And it's like, this person, you know, the flyer warrior, is going to do this, and they won't actually have a face-to-face. You know, bold when other people are not around, but you're not going to be willing to talk to anybody? I talk to all sorts of people. In fact, somebody told me I had kind of a reputation at work where I kind of come across as the word was passionate. That's a polite way of saying a little intense and over the top. I don't see it, but okay, that's the way I'm perceived. It's because if you are going to go out of your way to talk and ridicule somebody else's beliefs, you better be darn ready to defend yours. Because I'm ready to have a debate. I don't care. I've had this conversation dozens of times, maybe, just on these topics. Most atheists, most non-Christians have never probed the depths of their beliefs and critically examined them by the best arguments against it. Most of them aren't even aware that their arguments against their views, and they call Christians ignorant, unlearned, and believing soothing fairy tales and old-timey delusions from medieval ages, or Bronze Age peasants who were trying to interpret the world according to their limited knowledge. Really? You believe that dirt, given enough time, became people? So don't act like you have any sort of intellectual soapbox to stand on. So yeah, that's the background for this. But according to the Satanic Temple, whoever put up this flyer is violating their own tenet. Because if you actually were obeying tenet number 5, according to the Satanic Temple's own website, you should come to me. I point you some scholarly academic works from apologists and defending Christianity, and you should read them. Now, I'm not going to hold my breath because I'm not yet necessarily ready to die. Well, in one sense, ready. But let me just finish reading this too, because this gets massively self-contradictory, okay? Because I can go off on that on a soapbox of my own for quite a long time, okay? But there's a question and answer thing at the bottom of this page for tenet number 5 on the Satanic Temple's website, right? And it says there's some common question regarding misunderstanding of tenet number 5. For example, question, will the Satanic Temple accept me if I don't think science can explain everything? Answer, science can't explain everything, so they're admitting empiricism is wrong. Then why would you go by empiricism? Anyways, science isn't even trying to explain everything. Well, some people would disagree with you there. Science is just a way of increasing your knowledge of the world. I guarantee you there's a number of scientists who would have a major problem with that way of wording it. Okay? But this person is trying to be a philosopher. So another question says, can I be a member of the Satanic Temple if I disagree with the dominant scientific explanation of something? Like, I don't know, you believe in creation? Answer, the question you should be exploring is, why do you disagree with the dominant scientific explanation? Is it because you don't trust scientists? Well, the Satanic Temple doesn't trust scientists that believe in God. So what's wrong with that? Is it because you haven't researched the views of different experts in the field? I know many experts, many people in the Satanic Temple haven't done any real research into the claims of Christianity. Is it because you are uncomfortable with the topic and would rather believe outdated ideas that science gave up 100 years ago? You see the bias in even that statement. Outdated ideas. So in essence, the tone of this is even saying, well, you should believe the modern understanding of things, right? And then it goes and says, the Satanic Temple always embraces scientific skepticism. No, it doesn't. There are many skeptics of Darwinian evolution, even some that are not even Christian. But you don't embrace them. It says, but Tenet 5 is a warning against the skepticism of conspiracy theories just as much as it is a warning against, listen to this, the soothing fairy tales of theistic religions. And in that answer, they contradict what they said earlier. Because if you're wording it the soothing fairy tales of theistic religions, you don't know what you're talking about. One, you're lumping all theistic religions in the same boat. They are vastly, vastly different. One Buddhist scholar said Christians or apologists are the only ones who base their arguments on evidence. That's coming from a Buddhist scholar. I've never had an apologetics debate with an atheist that actually could deal with evidence. I haven't. If you go look up debates like with John Lennox and Richard Dawkins, it's hilariously one-sided. Most of what you have is somebody on one side of the stage trying to talk evidence and logic and worldviews, presuppositions, you know, those kinds of things, pointing out fallacies. And then you have somebody saying, but I don't like God, and you're wrong, and ad hominem arguments, and begging the question, and circular reasoning, and then just demeaning everyone else, like calling soothing fairy tales atheistic religions. If that's the way you're wording it, you don't know what you're talking about, and you've actually probably disobeyed tenet number 5, but again, doesn't have to be obeyed, remember? Tenet number 6. People are fallible. If one makes a mistake, one should do one's best to rectify it and resolve any harm that might have been caused. Well, okay, it says people are fallible, right? Like, I don't know, the people who wrote these tenets, maybe, right? So, and they said that they're going to change these as the culture changes. What if the culture becomes more Christian? Are you going to change to that? What if the growing scientific consensus actually starts to agree with Christianity? You going to embrace that? Probably won't. It says, if one makes a mistake, mistake implies that there's objective truth, right? That there is error and correct, right? One should do one's best to rectify it. Why? That's a moral point. Why should they admit it? Why should they seek to rectify it? That's a moral idea. And resolve any harm that might have been caused. Again, why? That's a moral thing. Okay? Now, I'm getting the page for this one. The sixth tenet, right? Says, okay. The question with this one is why, right? So then they say tenet number 6 is often brought up in the context of forgiveness. Well, forgiveness implies that there's objective right and wrong, right? It is a natural connection to make. After all, the first sentence of the tenets is a broad acknowledgement that both you and all the people around you can mess up from time to time. Again, that's acknowledging that there's some sort of moral objectivity outside of and above man. If that is true, see, they acknowledge it's conditional. They don't want to necessarily say that that's true. And if we have compassion and empathy for people, tenet 1, again, what's compassion and empathy in a world that in a worldview that does not allow for objective moral absolutes? Does it not follow that we should forgive people for their mistakes and give them a chance to make amends? No, it doesn't. Not in your worldview. Remember, you're saying nobody should have to do anything. There's no natural or supernatural authority behind it, right? There's not laws that Satanists should seek to impose on others. They're supposed to give guidance and inspiration. It says, perhaps, but that is not what Tenet 6 is calling upon the Satanist to do. And so it goes on to say, that's not necessarily saying that Satanists need to do that. And it's saying it's about the person who actually makes the mistake, right? This tenet does not encourage you to forgive. It encourages you to do the work to earn forgiveness from others. Well, what's the difference? You're acknowledging the concept of forgiveness, which is implying that there is moral absolutes that are objective and outside of man to which all people are bound. What's the difference? Okay. Tenet number 7, the last one on this list, and then a couple pages, just real quick, that they have about other issues, real quick. Tenet number 7, every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word. What about the written words that you just gave? I mean, this is so frustrating because it's absolutely arbitrary. Every bit of it. Contradicting themselves. Arbitrary. There's no authority behind anything, but they're going to act like there is authority and that it should be this way. You should do this or that, but I'm not saying that you should do this or that. Okay, it says the 7 tenets should inspire introspection and self-examination. They are deliberately ambiguous. They're deliberately ambiguous. Inviting members to explore the complex and varied ways that each tenet can manifest in their lives, which renders them completely meaningless. Their meaning, well, when they say that their meaning, right, they're implying that there is objective meaning to the words, which means that there is an objective interpretation of them. But then they're saying that they can be interpreted differently. So then there's no actual meaning to them, is there? Their meaning and implications will evolve as our community evolves and as our culture evolves. But what if the culture evolves contrary to the tenets themselves? Are you going to change it? Again, if it becomes more Christian, the culture, are you going to then become more Christian? No, you're not. The seven tenets are not a list of beliefs. They are a system of thought. Well, a system of thought is, guess what? Beliefs. You believe these things, and so you think them. That's an arbitrary distinction. There's no difference there. You believe these things, and therefore this is a system of thought. Your system of thought is just made up of your beliefs. Every tenet interacts with every other tenet. Sometimes, and this is where it says, and other times they create tension or even apparent contradiction. And so it says that people can disagree about these things and create their own personal Satanism, which is to rob Satanism of any actual definition then. And you see, that's kind of the point. All that this is, well, one, arbitrary, meaningless, no authority behind it, but that's the point. I'm reminded of one scientific philosopher who said, I wanted life and everything to be meaningless. Because if it's meaningless, then you're free to do as you want to, which is the point of this whole philosophy. You want nobody to be able to look at you and say, you are wrong. You want to live the way that you want to live without any authority structure over you, like God. And so this is why the imagery of Satan is very applicable. And even on their opening page in the About Us, if you go down, it says, do we worship Satan? Is a question that's asked in one of the tabs. And this is what they say. No, we don't believe in the existence of Satan or demons, anything supernatural. Satan is a fictional character who symbolizes the eternal rebel in opposition to arbitrary authority, forever defending personal sovereignty even in the face of insurmountable odds. Satan is not a being to be worshipped, but an archetype from which to draw inspiration. So again, this is non-theistic Satanism. They are using the idea of Satan historically, in their eyes, to just kind of be their archetypal hero. We want to go against arbitrary authority. Here's the funny thing. They capitalize eternal rebel. You only capitalize proper nouns. In fact, I've actually heard from some people that there are people in the Church of Satan, at least, and that Anton LaVey and them, who outwardly, they don't believe, they say they don't believe in the literal personage of Satan, but privately, they do. Now, I'm not saying what this is. I just find it interesting that the phrase eternal rebel is capitalized as though it's referring to a person. And they can say, well, it's to an archetypal person. Okay. Yeah, okay. But in opposition to arbitrary authority, because here's the thing. You're an arbitrary authority. You're saying you're not an authority, but then you're acting like you are, right? Not necessarily over others, but you're saying mankind collectively has its own authority to impose its own will over itself. That's arbitrary to even assert. Why? Why does man have authority over his own body? You can't actually defend that. You didn't create your body. You certainly don't sustain it. The very idea that you have authority yourself over your own life is just an arbitrary authority, right? But again, if God exists, he's not an arbitrary authority. He has actual authority. But that's the thing that these people try to rebel against. And so it's not so much that they believe these things as much as they want to believe these things. And in my experience, the loudest voices within atheism, agnosticism, Satanism, they're not trying to convince anybody. They're trying to convince themselves. And just reminded of that old phrase, thou dost protest too much, right? It's trying to silence anything that would prick their conscience. And as it says in the Bible, to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We will not have this man to rule over us. This is nothing new. This is just age-old rebellion against the very concept and existence of God, which again, they embrace. Now next, there's another page, real quick. It says, what is an unbaptism ritual? Some people have heard about this because it's been in the news and stuff like that. It says, one of the most well-known satanic rituals is the unbaptism ritual. This ritual symbolizes the rejection of previous superstitious impositions by imposing a new superstitious imposition, and an embrace of one's individual sovereignty and enlightenment. I'm my own God, pretty much is what they're saying, right? And this is the part that really caught my eye. For people who were baptized into a theistic religious tradition as infants, the unbaptism ritual is a symbolic reversal that frees them from a religion that was forced on them without their consent. Here's the thing. Biblical Christianity doesn't support infant baptism. I'll defend that statement. I know that early on, people started baptizing infants. The very concept of an infant baptism, though, is contrary to Scripture. It is. And again, forced on them without their consent. Okay, that's fine. Guess what? Christians have been rebaptizing people who came out of the Catholic Church. So even Protestant Christians, since the time of the Protestant Reformation, have not acknowledged infant baptism. And it kind of shows that whoever started this, or at least whoever wrote this article, does not understand Christianity. They probably had a background in one of these dead religious traditions like Catholicism, which is not Christianity. And it was kind of more raised probably in a cultural so-called Christianity because they don't understand baptism, even what it means, right? It says, members of TST, that is the Satanic Temple, who are unbaptized, feel empowered, freed, and forge a closer connection to their satanic identity in the rejection of the baptismal ownership under God. My question then is, why do you feel empowered, freed, in any way, shape, or form, if you deny the existence of the God that supposedly you were baptized to? If it doesn't exist, then what's the point? If God didn't exist, then why does you feel free being unbaptized? Well, you're rebelling against, you can do, I mean, what's the point? If you don't believe it did anything because you don't believe in God, then what's the point of doing it? And then, it's just such a useless concept that it really shows that somebody does not understand the point of Christianity. They don't. Now, lastly, there is a page on the Satanic Temple that says, what is the Satanic Temple's invocation? Invocation. And the Satanic Temple has a standard well-known invocation that ministers of Satan frequently include in their rituals and ceremonies. It says it was written by, when, and this or that. And it's used kind of with as one of the standard components of the TST's online religious services. And this is the text of the Satanic Temple's invocation. I'm going to read a bit of this, okay? Let us stand now, unbowed and unfettered by arcane doctrines, born of fearful minds in darkened times. It's pretty much saying Christians are ignorant. You don't bow to anybody. This is just Christianity was made up in the past, blah, blah, blah. That kind of ideology, right? Then it says, let us embrace the Luciferian impulse to eat of the tree of knowledge, right? Because we're going to glorify the idea of Satan, saying that, really, that's what theistic Satanism, Gnosticism, and everything like that actually is. It's just saying, hey, Satan's our savior because he rebelled. And so it's just a glorifying of rebellion for purely arbitrary reasons. And it says, and dissipate our blissful and comforting delusions of old. Again, you're calling Christianity delusion. It shows you actually don't know what you're talking about regarding evidence, logical argumentation, or anything. Let us demand. Well, that sounds like you're asserting your will over others, right? You're demanding somebody to treat you a certain way. That means you're saying that they have to treat you a certain way, which is a moral point. You're saying you should treat me this way, right? And we're going to demand that you treat us this way. Now you're telling other people to compromise their views, right? It says, let us demand that individuals be judged. Well, based on what? For their concrete actions, right? Again, judged by what? What objective standard are you going to say that people need to be judged by? Your opinion? Well, why does your opinion mean anything? Not their fealty to arbitrary social norms and illusory categorizations. Well, arbitrary, but by definition, you're arbitrary. You say you have no authority behind any of these points. You're arbitrarily assuming and asserting your own sovereignty. Arbitrarily. You just want your cake and you want to have it too. It says, let us reason our solutions with agnosticism in all things. Pretty much saying we don't know anything for certain. But we will say this. We know Christianity is false, but we don't know anything for certain. That's a contradiction. It says, when you say let us reason, again, your mind is not authoritative. reason only makes sense when you believe that your mind has been designed with purpose. Otherwise, you're pretty much in this dilemma that you're saying your brain is a result of accident, chemical processes with no guidance, no mind or intelligence behind it. Why then would your mind result in rational reason, logic, and anything reliable? Why? I mean, it's pretty much the equivalent then of like oatmeal, right? If there's no purpose to it. Intelligence and reason, logic, do not come from chaos and non-mind. So you have no reason to believe in your ability to reason. Holding fast only to what is demonstrably true. According to what? What is the objective standard by what you're going to say is or is not true? Your worldview? Okay, justify your worldview. And most of them don't even try. They don't even understand that conversation. It says, let us stand firm against any and all arbitrary authority, like the Satanic Temple, which says we don't have authority and this is not authoritative. These are not commands. You cannot assert this. Don't use this to defend or rationalize any decision or try to influence the behavior in others, right? While we try to influence the behaviors of others, that threatens the personal sovereignty of one or all. You're not your own. You didn't create yourself. You didn't bring yourself into existence. You did not, you don't even sustain yourself. You don't belong to yourself. That which will not bend must break. And that which can be destroyed by truth, well, objective truth destroys the Satanic Temple's philosophy, should never be spared its demise. I agree. The Satanic Temple's philosophy should not be spared its demise because it gets destroyed by truth. And then it says, it is done, which is a smack in the face of Christ. But when Christ was on the cross, he said, it is finished, the tetelestai, the Greek. And so they're just mocking Christ there. Hail Satan. Why? If you don't believe he exists, why say Hail Satan? And they say, well, he's an archetypal idea and we're going to glorify our own rebellion. So whenever they say Hail Satan, what they're saying is pretty much Hail me. Like, I'm awesome. Now, I have one question to finish with in this. This is just off the top of my head reading through these. There is no rational basis for Satanism, theistic or non-theistic. No rational basis for it. Most of the time, people get into these circles because they were hurt or offended by some group, probably religious in at least claim. I've met people that have been just offended by church-going people because they said something about the way they dressed, the way they acted, you know, and it offended them. Some people have actually been hurt physically or sexually or something like that. They've been molested. I've talked to people who were molested by the Catholic Church. I've met them. And people who were hurt, beat, abused emotionally or physically by parents who were professing Christians. Well, I don't ever want to minimize someone's suffering, someone's actual suffering, right? But here's the thing. None of that has anything to do with whether or not the Bible's true. None of it. I could do the exact same things in the name of the Satanic Temple, in the name of Satan. People have done worse in the name of Satan, right? You do not weigh things, ideas, philosophies, religious views, worldviews, on the basis of those who say they hold them, though you can point out behavioral inconsistency. They do not hinge on people's behavior, right? If I was to say, Hail Satan, but then go on preaching, you know, an altar call to Jesus, you would say, hey, that doesn't make sense, right? And so whenever behavior contradicts, right, behavioral inconsistency, the actual claims of the worldview, are you going to question the person or the worldview? Well, see, because I can attack Satanism by a lot of people. Aleister Crowley, for one, right? Says he murdered over 200 children in child sacrifices. I mean, you just research this man. Nobody wants to stand next to him and say, I'm with him. Unless you're that rare person who just try and spite the world, you know, and anybody trying to push any kind of idea on you that you could be wrong. And I know people who are just that irrational that they would do that. But let's say I was to judge Satanism on Aleister Crowley. You'd say, oh, I'm not that kind of Satanist. Right? Well, whenever people get hurt by people who are professing Christians, or churches. And believe you me, I have a lot of problems with professing Christians and many churches. I've probably been hurt by them more than you. But it's because I believe the Bible, because I am a Christian who actually seeks to go by the words of God. I'm not perfect. I'm still learning and growing. And I've had to be corrected before. But most of the time, people get into these circles because they were hurt by somebody who professed to be a Christian. That's irrational. You should go to the source yourself. Like according to one of the tenets of the Satanic Temple, you should go to their sources, examine them, and ask questions. Seek to understand that which you are saying you disagree with. Because most of them can't even actually articulate the gospel. Right? Because at the end of the day, here's one thing you need to understand about things like the Satanic Temple. They say, your body is your own, it's inviolable. Okay, well, here's a question. According to the Satanic Temple, is it wrong to rape? They would say yes, in principle, because you're not supposed to inviolate somebody else's body. But you're saying that people interpret these things differently, right? You are saying these things have no actual authority behind them, natural or supernatural. And you are not supposed to superimpose your will over others. So can you say to that rapist, what you're doing is wrong? No, you can't. Because there's no objective moral standard behind it. And whenever that is the language and that is the worldview, which is just relativism to a at a certain point, that's all that it is subjective moral relativism. You have no basis to say that anybody has done anything wrong. And if that's the case, you have no basis to say that anybody who's hurt you has done anything wrong. And for those of you who became Satanists because some religious person hurt you, what are you upset about? Inherent contradiction. And I'm not trying to sound mean or dismissive, but people within these systems, they don't know what they don't know. Okay? I would encourage you to do like one of the tenets says. Go to primary sources of those who oppose you. Go to the sources, look at them yourselves. Actually consider the fact that you could be wrong, that you do not have good reasons for the way that you're living. You do not have good reasons for any of it, and you do not have good reasons to reject the gospel, because you don't. I was one of those kind of people who was looked down on because of the way that I dressed and things like that. I was. For a certain season of my life, it's like I just had the dark hair, you know, wore the black shirts and Pantera, Cowboys from Hell, stuff like that. And I wore a black trench coat. And yeah, people looked at you weird. There were bad rumors about me. There's still bad rumors about me around my hometown. I just encourage you, consider the words of your own tenets. It says people are fallible. That means you also. If you actually care about what's true, you should seek to examine yourself, which is, again, what the Satanic Temple it says you're supposed to do. Examine the real claims for Christianity. Read a Josh McDowell book. Read Jason Lyle's Ultimate Proof of Creation. Read Gary Habermas and Michael Lacona's book, Defending the Resurrection of Jesus. Read some of the works of C.S. Lewis, even though, you know, some questionable things in there. But still, philosophically, there's much good there. Ask yourself the hard questions of why you are a Satanist. Most of the time, if you are honest with yourself, it's because you just don't want God to have any claim on you, which he does regardless of whether or not you acknowledge it.